In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. One of my guilty pleasure favorite music to listen to, especially while mowing the lawn, is Meatloaf. Yay, right? One of my favorite Meatloaf songs is Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. I want you, I need you, but I ain't ever gonna love you. But hey, Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. That song kind of makes me think about this scripture reading. And Jesus traveling, and he's out doing his business and doing the ministry and traveling back and forth. And it comes along these 10 folk who have skin diseases. Leprosy. Kind of figure they might have looked like when my hands look really bad with my eczema. And they know who he is by reputation. And they say, hey, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. If it had happened in 2018, 2019, I'd be like, hey, Jesus, help a brother out over here. I got a problem, and I think you can fix it. And it says, when Jesus saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priests, which was Jesus' code in that time for saying, go and show them that you have been made clean, that you are not an outcast anymore. And so the 10 of them start trucking off. And all of a sudden, one of them goes, hey, wait a minute. And instead of continuing to follow off to the priests, he turns around and goes back to Jesus and falls on his face at Jesus' feet and thanks him profusely. He was a Samaritan. He was not somebody that Jewish people, he came from a culture that did not get along with the Jewish folk. If he hadn't been one of the ones that was healed, he would not be one who would have run up to Jesus and said, hey, help me. Because culture would have told him that's not a good idea. But he turns around and he runs back to Jesus and he says, thank you. And he praises God. And Jesus' response is, weren't there 10 of you? Where's the other 9? No one returned to praise God except for this foreigner, this person who is not like the rest of them, this person who is not from here, this person who doesn't follow the same faith we do. He's the only one that came back. And he looks at the man, because it's not his fault that his buddies didn't come back. He looks at the man and says, get up and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Now, I don't doubt that the other 9, as they're trucking off to see the priest, I don't doubt they were thankful. And they looked down at their hands and they said, yep, Jesus is pretty cool. Yep, he healed this affliction just like we knew he would, which is why we asked him in the first place. And they ran off the priest and said, see, we're clean. We can come back to temple now. But I don't think gratitude entered into their being that day. I don't think choosing to be grateful for the gift entered their being that day. See, when the writer of the Gospel of Luke says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. There were both Galileans and Samaritans in the area. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. We can assume, because Jesus made a point about calling the one who came back a foreigner, we can assume that the other 9 were Galileans. These were Jesus' people. This was his cohort. This was his community. These were people who understood who he was. Thought he might have been a little touched in the head, but they knew who he was. They knew that this was Mary's boy. I think for half a minute, they probably took him for granted. I think the fact that they took him for granted is why they didn't come back. The poor Samaritan didn't know. He didn't know. He was not of the community. He didn't know who Mary or Joseph were from Adam and Eve. He's just along with the ride with the rest of the social outcasts. And all of a sudden, God works a miracle in his life too. And because he didn't have the foreknowledge of who Jesus was, at least the human version, and he didn't have all of the previous understanding of what Jesus had already done, he didn't take it for granted. He had gratitude enter his soul. And he returned to Jesus, not just to thank him, but to praise God. How many times, because we are the people who meet in this place, and we are the people who worship in the way we do, and we are the people who have member of First Presbyterian Church of Ithaca behind our names, how many times do we take it for granted the miracles that God works every day? I'm willing to bet it's more times than we're like the one who went back. I know full well I'm more like the 9 than the 1 most of the time. See, to live a grateful life, to live a life centered on gratitude and thankfulness to God for what God has provided, you have to adopt that way of thinking. And it's hard. Oh, it's hard work. We live in a culture, in a society. Let me look around the room real quick. And we're all members of a race that take things for granted. We take what we have and what we have available to us, and the resources available for granted. I wonder if we can put some of that aside and be more like the poor healed Samaritan. There was no expectation that Jesus would heal him too. He didn't know who Jesus was. There was no expectation that he was supposed to live a certain way. He wasn't in the temple. He wasn't on session. He wasn't on one of the ministry teams. He didn't go to women's or men's breakfast. There was no expectation on his part that anything miraculous would ever happen for him. He didn't know any better. And in that equation, who should have been most thankful were the people who knew what Jesus was capable of. The people who should have been grateful should have been the ones who Jesus knew by name and who knew Jesus by name. And who knew what had happened in the previous 16 chapters of Luke? My sociology degree tells me that it's not going to get any better. Society's not going to get any better until we who are the beacons of Christ's light in this world, until we who are his hands and feet in this world, until we model gratitude. We live in a society now that does not know how to say thank you and mean it. We live in a society that does not know how to live thankfulness every day. So they need tools like a gratitude calendar to make them think about what am I grateful for? If there's anybody on the planet who should be living the life that we would want others to model, it should be us. Why? Because we know who he is. We know what he did for us. And I know we're thankful for it. I know we're thankful people. Why do I know? Because we do this. Because we celebrate this meal. Because we remember his words. There's a pumpkin hanging over on the wall over here. And it says, choose to be grateful. And I lay that out as a challenge to you this week. This first week of November, first full week of November, I lay it out as a challenge to you. For what am I grateful for today? Choose to be grateful. There's been a thing going around social media, and it's got the 10 top complaints answered with the gratitude statements for after. For example, I'm frustrated because there's crumbs under my kitchen table. Be thankful you have a family to share your food with. I'm frustrated because the laundry is never done. Amen? Be thankful you have clothes to wear. I'm frustrated because I'm never home on Monday nights or Thursday nights because my kids got this or my kids got that or my kids got this other thing. Be thankful your kids got something to be participating in. It takes a mind shift. It takes a shift of focus. If you figure your life is like a multifaceted gem, and you're looking at it this way, and things aren't all sunshiny and rosy on this side, and you're not finding things to be thankful for, turn it around. Every one of those things we gripe about every day. I'm frustrated, I'm stuck in traffic. I'm thankful I have a car to be in and some place to go and a job to get to or family to go visit or wherever it is you happen to be going that day. Take those little frustrations. Write them down. And then spend time figuring out what the gratitude on the other side of it is. Because I guarantee you there's a gratitude on every side, on the other side of every one of those. What's the lesson we can learn from the one Samaritan who came back that the other nine missed? That yes, God gives us things beyond our wildest dreams. That yes, God is a benevolent creator. That yes, our God is merciful. And yes, we owe him all thanks and praise because there's not a thing any of us can do to ever deserve it. In the animated movie, Anastasia, which has great music and whatever else, when Anya is leaving the orphanage as a 21-year-old, the old mother of the orphanage. So go on, Anya, and be grateful too. I tell you, Ithaca, first go on and be grateful too. Amen.